everybody to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. It's a beautiful day. It's hot, but it's still beautiful. I'm glad to be alive, and I'm glad that you all are tuning in. And I just want to say welcome to all of the new listeners. We're constantly getting new listeners. I just want to say thank you. Welcome aboard. Thank you so much for following and, you know, telling everybody, telling your friends about the show. It's been an awesome response. And if you've been following us for a while, you know that once a month we are very, very blessed to get an opportunity to sit at the feet of Dr. Ruby Lathan. She's a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine, and she always, always, always brings us just food for, you know, no pun intended, but food for thought. She's an awesome, dynamic speaker, and if you're just tuning into the show for the very first time, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Lathan. She's a holistic health and wellness expert and an advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires us with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Lathan, who holds a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a BS in computer science, began teaching others about the benefit and power of plant-based nutrition. She motivates others to take charge of their health and provides tools for living healthy, disease-free, and above our daily routines to experience the peace and joy of life's journey. Dr. Lathan served as nutrition policy manager and lobbyist at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she led a national initiative to improve child nutrition and prevent chronic disease through emphasis on plant-based options in the National School Lunch Program. She's also a dynamic speaker, as I said, and she's an educator, hosting a number of seminars, workshops, and healthful vegan cooking demonstrations. Dr. Lathan is a health and wellness contributing writer for African American Lifestyle magazine and host of an alternative health webcast, Health 365, and the Whole Foods vegan cooking show, The Veggie Chef. All I can say is, wow, that's a lot. I mean, when you just, you know, think about what you just heard, that is somebody that has a very, very impressive resume. So I hope that you feel blessed to have the opportunity to sit and listen and learn today as I do. So, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Dr. Lathan back to Jawanza for Life. Thank you, my sister, for being my guest again today. Always a pleasure to have you. I look forward to another powerful interview.
Well, thank you for having me. Always great to be here. We always have a great discussion.
Yes. And today, I know that my listeners are in for a treat because I've actually had the pleasure of hearing you talk about visualization and meditation, the role of visualization and meditation in healing. And I know that the listeners today are really, really going to be blessed. And so I just want to just, I can't wait to get into this show because, you know, I'm a meditator myself and, you know, I always love to hear about meditation and getting still. I mean, we live in a world that is so fast-paced and, you know, everything is fast, 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 fast. People are going to jobs and, you know, just everything is just fast-paced. You might be on a job where you have to move around fast. You might have quotas to meet and, you know, just all these different things. And sometimes it might be difficult or it seems to find space during the course of a day to just get still, still your mind and actually breathe and meditate. And so today we're going to be talking about the benefits of being able to do that. And even as it relates to healing the body, that, you know, it's been scientifically proven that there are benefits to visualizing and using meditation in your healing regimen. So, Doc, before we get into that, I mean, I know you actually used visualization and meditation even in your own healing journey. Can you talk about that? What led you to the holistic health journey and how visualization and meditation helped you on your own journey?
Sure. After I received my diagnosis of thyroid cancer is when I started looking into all methods of healing, you know, including nutrition and other things. So I started with nutrition as the primary mode to heal the body because it's so key to giving the body what it needs to heal. And then through that process, while I was in the midst of, you know, having changed my diet to a plant-based diet, whole food diet, I started reading about meditation, and I started reading a little bit about visualization as well, and how those could also help me heal. And it was really kind of the last piece to the puzzle of what I was doing in terms of the healing process. So, because I didn't really know what it would do for me other than relax me. And I was like, well, I'm already exercising. I could do massage therapy. You know, what is meditation really going to do? So I started reading about it to see what it would do, because I'm a believer and I need to know what I'm doing before I do it. So that it makes sense to me. And so then the more that I read and saw how it enhances the body, the immune system, and a lot of other things, I added that to my regimen. And, you know, a year later after my diagnosis, so just over a year, I was able to reverse the cancer with just the dietary changes and the meditation and prayer and visualization. And so I was cancer-free at that point, and I was really, really excited about it, and that's how I decided to switch my focus of what I wanted to do with my time to help other people do the same thing. So that's how I got here, and so that was a big piece of my healing process, so I'm happy to share, you know, what I learned with those listening today.
You know, when you share, every time that you share your testimony on this show and you share that you cured yourself of thyroid cancer, you know, there's a part of me that just wants to just stop the interview for 15 minutes and just let that sink in, you know, for people to really grasp what you just said, that you actually cured yourself of thyroid cancer. I mean, that is so noteworthy. That is such a big deal, you know, and I don't want that to be lost on people as they're listening to you in this interview, because you know what you're talking about. You know, you're not sharing information that you heard somebody else talk about, and, you know, you might have read a book, and as a result of reading the book, now you're making this assertion that you can heal yourself from cancer. You did heal yourself from cancer. And I think that is such a great big deal, and I want people to understand that, because, you know, sometimes, again, we move so fast that can get, just people can just gloss over that fact. And, you know, that was such a big deal in your life. I mean, you took a year or maybe even less than that, put in the work, did the research, after doing research, actually implemented what you read. It's tested, it's, you tried it, and it's true that you can cure yourself of cancer. And I just have to reiterate that for people, because there's somebody out there that has that diagnosis or knows somebody that does. And, yes, it's true. You can cure yourself of cancer, not just thyroid cancer, but any cancer, if you do what she did. So, I mean, Dr. Lathan is here to testify that, you know, it's possible. You can do it. And, you know, I just had to just stop to reiterate that point, because that's such a great big deal. And so, again, I'm just very blessed to have somebody on the show who can talk about it from a first-person perspective. Again, not just hearing something that she, just speaking on something she heard somebody else say, but she did it. And for those who are listening, if you're dealing with an issue, you can do it too. Her testimony can be your testimony. You can have the same testimony, but you're going to have to do what she did. Okay, so I just wanted to stop there and make that point, because it's so very, very important. So, yeah, I mean, you implemented visualization and meditation into your regimen, and I think for a lot of people, especially Black people, when we talk about visualization and meditation, you know, I think images sometimes, if you're not already on the holistic health path, if you are on the holistic health path, it's nothing to you to hear that. But if you're not, you get images of Lisa Bonet on the Cosby Show, you know, kind of eccentric, you know, it's kind of for those type people, you know, that type of thing. you know. So,
right.
But more people are actually jumping on the bandwagon, learning, and actually implementing it into the into their regimen with, you know, excellent results. Doc, could you talk about, as we embark upon this interview, this the power of the mind? Because you can't have a discussion on visualization and meditation and not talk about the power of the mind and how, you know, it can be used in the healing process as opposed to just, you know, taking a pill, allopathic medicine. Could you talk about the power of the mind?
Sure. The mind is it is the driver of everything. It determines pretty much how everything goes. Like, we don't make a move or an action without first thinking about it. Our thoughts are what drive us. That's what, you know, gets us up in the morning and decides what we're going to eat for breakfast and all of that. So at some point we tend to get what we call autopilot. My dad used to call it that. Most of us are on autopilot. We're really not thinking throughout the day. We just do what we always do. Without thinking, kind of just, this is our routine now. We've kind of shut off the conscious brain and we're just doing actions at that point. But even if it feels like that, there's some thinking going on that's making that happen. And illness and health are rooted in our mental capacity, our mental thinking as well. So, you know, we can bring on illness with our thoughts, and we can heal illness with our thoughts. It's that powerful. So it's really understanding that the body is a whole. That I know in traditional medicine we treat parts of the body as if they're separate entities, because we have doctors that specialize in, you know, in our, you know, feet, podiatry, and the brain, and the, you know, gut health, and all types of things. But that's fine. That's because the body is so complex, you can't know everything. We need to break it up that way, but it's not because they are disconnected in that way. And so when we understand that everything is a system and everything depends and relies on each other, with the brain being the driver of it all, then we can start putting the pieces together and understand how our brain affects our body chemistry, which affects our health, which affects how our body works, how it doesn't work. A simple example would be, you know, we'll say, like, we're super tired. We can't, you know, we can't walk another mile. Let's say we've exercised all day and we can't walk another mile. And I've felt like that before, too. You know, I've gone running, exercising, and I was completely wiped out. And then I thought I heard in the bushes. I was out in the foothills in New Mexico, and I thought what I heard was some either hyenas or mountain lions or something that is, you know, indigenous to that area. And let me tell you, I got the biggest bout of energy I have ever had and ran all the way home. Now, I was completely on E, but my brain triggered the release of more endorphins, more chemicals, more energy to make me move. So it was in there all along. I had just told myself I was done. I was tired. I'm done. I have no more energy left. But the fact of the matter is my brain knows there's more. There's more here. Because if there was no more, I would not have been able to run twice as fast as I did when I got there to get out of there. So that's a simple example of the brain having power over the body, or working in concert with the body. And so it's like, if the brain can, you know, trigger this burst of energy that I had decided wasn't there, then the brain can trigger a lot of other things that we don't realize are there too, as well as healing things in the body. And so once we understand that the brain is so connected and to the body, and that it can trigger different things that we're not even aware of, then we can understand how meditation and visualization then work in the body. Because when we think thoughts, you know, when we think different things, it triggers different chemical makeups in our body. Just like when we're very angry, we actually feel heated because we are sometimes actually getting hot because of blood flow is being increased and things like that. So our thoughts are very much related to our body. The same way if you hear really bad news, your heart might actually hurt, or your stomach, you might feel like you just got punched in the gut when you get terrible news. That's the body is creating a response to that information. And so it's the same way that when we tell our brain, okay, here's what we want you to do. We want you to go about the work of healing X, Y, and Z in the body. It starts triggering the things that will make that happen. The same way that we can lessen pain by thinking about it or not thinking about it or telling the body to lessen the pain. When we start understanding that, then we understand that meditation is really key to our healing, because basically it just quiets the brain down enough to let you either relax or focus on something that you want to happen.
You know, Doctor, I'm enjoying this already. I knew this was going to be good. If we, you know what, for some people, if we stop the interview right now, you have enough already, you know, to do one. Okay, this is juicy. I mean, just imagine, Doc, if we consciously, if mankind consciously made an effort, a concerted effort to actually tap into, intentionally, on purpose, that same power, that energy that was supplied to you when, you know, you thought you heard something in the bushes. Imagine, I mean, and that was an automatic response. You know, you didn't take time to think about it and meditate at that moment. It just came and you got out of there. Imagine us being able to tap into that power consciously and to be able to even direct it. You know, I'm sure that through certain meditative techniques, you can do that. I mean, but just imagine
absolutely
if we actually...
you can. You know, there's an example of that, and people can look up the story online. A couple years ago, a group of meditators, I think some of them included monks and others, came to actually Washington, D.C., and it was a large group of them. I don't know if it was like around 100 or plus people came, but they rallied a lot of other people too, came to D.C. and meditated on peace and lack of violence, you know. So you want to meditate on what you want. So I'm sure they weren't meditating on violence, but they were meditating on peace, and actually that there would be, you know, less angst, violence, and all the other things that are going on in the city. And during that period that they were meditating, they came together and meditated every day. And during, I think it was like a 30-day period, actually, the violence actually went down markedly in Washington, D.C. area where they were while they were here, and there was no other correlated cause for it. There were no extra police on the street. There was no other thing that would trigger, you know, a sudden decrease in crime except their presence and their actual meditating together on it, which is called kind of a mastermind. When you get a group of people together meditating at the same time on the same thing, it magnifies the power of that, and it actually has an effect on other people and the energy in the air, because we're all made up of energy, and that's what we are. And so when you get a group of people who are very skilled at meditating and they're together and they're meditating on the same thing in the same place, that energy radiates and actually changes the energy of the people around them. I've had that experience happen to me. Now, for religious people, to me, when I was, you know, that sounded scary because I didn't know what's going on. What are they? How are they doing that? Is it some spirit? No, it's energy. It's just our. It's the same energy that is evoked when we pray. So you can think about it like that. But I know that I have, you know, I was on the metro once, and this very angry man got on the metro and was cursing and just going on and on and on, like just incredibly upset. And I was like, wow, what is going on with him? And so I just kind of, you know, closed my eyes and just started meditating and thinking, you know, I hope, you know, whatever's still going on with him, you know, he can release that and feel better and just, you know, and it was like for about 2 to 3 stops I did this. And by the time I got off on the third stop, I hadn't said a word to him, had barely looked at him because he was a little, you know, when somebody's that angry, I'm just trying to, like, let me stay in my corner. So I hadn't really made eye contact with him at all. But I felt a change in the energy. He stopped cursing. He stopped doing all this. And then so I had to walk by him to get off the metro. And then he says to me, he says, you know, I just want to apologize for all of that that I said when I got on. You know, I was just going through some things. I feel a lot better now. So just want to apologize and hope you have a great day. Now, this is from a man who was cursing up a storm, okay? I mean, just as angry as you can be, he was. And the energy changed just from my meditating on him, changed his energy and just evoked a spontaneous apology to me, not to anyone else. So I was like, wow, that's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. And so and we think about that. And I used to, when I was, you know, attending church more regularly, you know, people would talk about how to pray with power, how to, and I was like, well, what's the difference in how you're praying and my praying if we're saying the same thing? But it's a method. It's the same energy that when you pray with a different attitude, you get more action than when you pray with, let's say, a doubtful attitude. It's the same mechanism at work. It's exactly the same. And so when I started kind of putting those pieces together, then I said, oh, okay, we need to start meditating and really bringing this energy of healing to the body, because we can, you know, if it can do these things here in a city and I can, you know, meditate for a few minutes and change the whole atmosphere of a person, then I'm surely I can change myself.
You know, doctor, that is powerful because, and I think one of the most powerful things about what you just said is that he singled you out. I mean, as you were getting off the train, you know, he said to you, he apologized to you, and you just so happened to be the one that was doing the meditating. I mean, that's interesting to me. That is amazing. That's the power of meditation at work. Wow. And you also said something, Doc, you touched on religion for a moment. If we could just
I think we have to address religion, because I have to tell you, one of the reasons I didn't meditate sooner in my progress was because I was afraid of meditation, because I thought it was, you know, this Eastern religion, and, you know, and if I'm not meditating specifically on Jesus or God, then, you know, maybe an evil spirit will jump in while I'm in this relaxed state. You know, just grew up very religious, and these were the thoughts, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who's thought like that. So I started investigating it, you know, because, you know, especially very conservative religions, you know, teach you those type of things, that everything's got to be Jesus or nothing. You know, if it's not Jesus, it's the devil. So that was my thought process. So I said, well, let me look at what meditation really is. Is it a, you know, Eastern religion? Is it something that is, you know, against God? And, you know, when you start looking in the Bible, it talks about meditation. It talks about quiet. It talks about the still, small voice. It talks about being still. And that's pretty much what meditation is. You don't have to blank out your mind. You know, a lot of people think, I have to, you know, have a blank mind. And if I have a blank mind, then something's going to jump in. You really don't have to have a blank mind. It's very difficult to try to blank your brain because it just doesn't work. You have to think about something. So if you want to think about Jesus, that's fine. If that makes you feel good, if you want to think about God, that's fine too. But it really is just dropping everything that goes with that and just focusing on something enough so that it calms the brain waves down. And so when you're actively thinking of something, the brain waves are, you know, just going up and down, up and down. When you stop and you start breathing deeply and you focus, let's say, on a dot on the wall and nothing else, I'm just going to focus on that dot, your brain slows down. And then it's open to suggestion. Now, this is where people get scared. Well, what kind of suggestion? It's the suggestion you want to give it. Nobody else is suggesting anything. It's whatever you want to do. And so that's where you can start, you know, meditating on yourself, on healing. You can meditate on peace. You can meditate on, you know, other people. You know, you can meditate on just the feeling good. You can meditate on wealth. It's whatever it is you want to do, or nothing. Just simply sitting still and looking at a dot or nothing actually has a healing properties all of its own. The slowing down of the activity in the brain is healing in and of itself. So it's not magic, it's science. So that's number one. It's very scientific, that how meditation slows down the brain waves, and that in itself has a healing property to it. So that's number one. So understanding that it's not necessarily linked to an Eastern religion, they do use it in many religions, but it's not in and of itself. Meditation doesn't have a lock stock in, you know, Eastern religion. So it is what you want it to be. So I kind of got over that, and then I often started my meditation with prayer, because I said, you know, let's go into this meditation prayerfully. And that way I kind of let go of the fear that something else was going to happen, because I just asked God to bless and ordain what I'm doing. So you can do that, you know, and then go into your meditation and your peaceful thinking. And so I think, you know, just kind of focusing on, you know, just quietness in the room, or just a single dot somewhere, or anything, a picture or something, just the act of slowing down the brain and breathing deeply is healing. You can stop there if you want to. That's going to be great. But then if you really want to tap into the power of that, then you start focusing on other things, what you want in your life, whatever that is, and that's where the healing piece comes in. And then visualization really has zero to do with religion or religiosity or religion or any of that. It is simply putting into a mental picture what you want. So, and we do it all the time. You know, I talk about if you can worry, you can visualize, because worrying is visualizing what you don't want to happen, right? So it's like, you know, oh gosh, what if I'm not able to pay this bill? Now you're thinking about what it's going to feel like when you're not able to pay the bill, and it makes you feel bad, right? You're worried about what's going to happen, who you're not going to be able to pay, what's going to do to your credit. You're going down this whole line of what's going to happen if I don't do this, if I don't have the money for this. That is a form of visualization, just in the opposite way of what you want to do, and will actually help bring things about that you don't want. So if you spend a lot of time thinking about your fears, and then your fears come true, and then you say, see, I knew that was going to happen, it happened because you made it happen, because you don't understand the power of your own brain. And so by playing out a negative scenario, you hastened and almost ensured what you didn't want to happen. That's how it works, because it is simple energy that you are putting out. So everything that we think has energy. And so if you think about, you know, well, I don't want that to happen, instead of thinking about what if I don't have money to pay this bill, think about what it would feel like when you get the money to pay the bill. Think about it's going the opposite of that, the opposite of that. Think about whatever it is, or how the money is going to show up in your hand. Whatever it is, the opposite of that worry is visualization. And so then you can start, you know, putting it in a more formalized manner. You know, we've heard a lot about The Secret and vision boards and vision books and all of that. That's all on the right track, because basically you're putting out there what you want to happen, and those things are connected to an energy wave, and everything that exists has an energy. And so basically what we're doing is we're either attracting what we don't want because we're thinking about that, or we're attracting what we want because we're thinking about that. And once you realize that you have been doing this your entire life already, then you will stop and say, well, let me be more deliberate about my thoughts and my words and my actions to actually make what I want happen more often, instead of just thinking it's happenstance, because it's really not.
You know, it's So all of this is so interesting to me. You know, I was reading a book called Stress Free for Life. I mentioned it in a previous interview by Dr. Rahul Nefer-Amin, in which he states that a lot, if not all, of the ills that befall us as humans, as, quote, human beings, is that we identify with being human. And as a result of identifying with being human, we justify everything, our emotions, our anger, our sadness, our grief, all of that, based on the fact, and we excuse ourselves to be able to fulfill these emotions based on the fact that we're human, you know. Somebody, you know, cuts you off in traffic and you're furious. And you justify it as like, what's wrong with you? Why are you so mad? You don't believe, man. You know what he just did? He just cut me off in traffic. But your blood pressure went up. You know, somebody standing in the line at the Safeway or something, and the cashier's been waiting on somebody too long. You're standing there fuming, like, come on. And, you know, or your mate cheats on you or whatever the case is. And you justify the reason that you're angry by the fact that you're human. Listen, you know, I'm only human. What do you expect me to do? Or, you know, somebody just died, you know. Oh, I'm only human. What do you expect me? I'm grieving, you know. And his position is that scientifically it's been proven that once you engage in these emotions, that they have toxic side effects. You know, cortisol is going to be introduced into the bloodstream, and, you know, which has its negative effects, and other hormones, harmful, are going to be introduced into your body that are going to, you know, have harmful effects to you. And he states that if something is harmful to you, it cannot be natural to you. So, therefore, if the Creator created a body, it cannot be natural for this body to, for you to engage in emotions that are going to harm you, you know. And I think that a lot of times, and that makes sense to me, because, again, we do justify things on our humanness. You know, hey, I did this because I'm human. I got mad because I'm human, not realizing that through meditation that, and through a different identification, even if you were to say, you know what, I'm more than human. I am divine. I'm a divine being, and as a divine being, I don't have to, you know, just automatically have a stress response to a situation, because no situation is inherently stressful, you know, because where you could take one individual who, you know, responds with stress to, say, somebody's grieving or somebody's death with grief, somebody else could take it in stride, or, you know, somebody could just fall to pieces over something that somebody else just takes in stride. So if it was inherent to the situation, it would have to be so for everybody. So, you know, I'd like to, if you could talk about just even using meditation as a way to eliminate stress, and as a result of eliminating stress, then we can eliminate a lot of the stuff that we end up needing to heal from.
I think that's great. Definitely a major benefit of meditating is relieving stress. Because usually once you have done meditation for 10, 20, however long you've done it, you automatically feel better afterwards. So that in itself relieves stress. Just meditating by in and of itself is going to be a stress reliever. Because you realize one of the things that helps relieve stress is to realize that you do have power over pretty much everything in your life, even though you don't think you do. And when we start understanding our role in the universe, that we are a very integral part of it, that we're not just like pieces that have been plopped down that are just affected by it, but that we are part of it on a very molecular structure, then we understand that we affect everything, so that we don't just have to go through life feeling like either I'm lucky or I'm unlucky, or things happen to me or they're not, you know, or they don't, you know, or, you know, other people, good things happen to them just because, or because of the way they were born or whatever. Once we realize that we have the power to change any and everything in our lives, then we can meditate a little differently. We can handle stress a little differently, because usually people handle stress badly because they don't feel like there's a positive solution to the stress. So you just kind of sit with it and you know, think again, think of the worst that's going to happen. That's what causes stress. And some people, it's reality. You haven't had money to pay bills. I mean, you know, finance is usually the first thing. Then the other thing is illness and family strife and things like that are the kind of the main stressors in most people's lives and jobs. So usually it's one of those things that pops up. So we feel like, okay, well, I haven't been able to pay the bills before, and this is what happened before. So now I'm in the situation again. Why would I think it's any different? And so then you're going to be stressed about that. But once you realize that just because you make X amount of money and you know that this is all you make and that you have bills that equal more than that, that, you know, there's going to be a problem there. Either you're going to do something about it to make more money or you're going to stress about it. So it's like, you know, you have to decide what you're going to do. And then meditation, when you realize that you don't have to have all the answers but believe that you can do something to affect that equation and that you just don't have to sit there and wait for it to happen, when you meditate, then you will send out a different frequency. You will send out a frequency of hopefulness, of good, of feeling good, and then things that are going to help you feel good will come your way. So instead of sitting there thinking, okay, you know, this bill is $1,100 and I only have $900, so obviously bad things are going to happen, you sit here and say, there's a situation, you know, this equals this, but something good can happen here, and I'm just going to, you know, for starters, this is not all I'm going to do, but I'm going to meditate on this and just meditate on peacefulness and meditate on abundance and meditate on having what I need. Then when you come out of that meditation, next thing you know, you have an idea to do X, Y, and Z. You have a thought to call so-and-so to do an odd job. You have a thought to whatever it is that you weren't thinking about before that would solve that problem will now come to you because of the energy that you put into meditating in a positive way. So when you think about, you know, think about things in that way, that every situation can have the outcome that you want or a better outcome than it is right now, then meditation is facilitating that, then it helps relieve that stress because it lets you know that you actually have the power through your brain to make things happen. And so when you understand that, it relieves stress. It really, really does. And so then the meditation not only is sending out good energy and all of that, but it also reduces the stress just because you're taking the time to be still and be quiet, and then we relieve that stress by doing it. So, and then when you put that in combination with, you know, exercise and stretching and things like that, that even enhances it more. And then that's where also when you're eating a healthy diet, it actually also increases the power of your meditation and your visualization as well. So you start putting all these pieces together and it becomes very, very strong. So, you know, you can just start with little things, you know, with, you know, just wanting to feel better. You know, I decided a while ago, you know, I would have these little bouts of, you know, mini depressions, and just didn't really know why. And, you know, I just decided I was going to be happy. Now, I didn't have a clinical depression or a significant hormonal imbalance or anything like that. So I'm not saying, you know, don't get checked out if you have a real issue. You need to know what you're dealing with first. So barring all that, I didn't have any of that. I didn't have any major reason to just be, you know, unhappy. And I just decided, you know, this is a state of mind. I am going to decide to be happy. And this is a decision I made, and lo and behold, after making that decision, I've been happy ever since. So the mini bouts of depression, especially even when you're eating healthy, you know, during your cycle time, you have ups and downs and things like that. that doesn't even affect nothing. I'm always happy now because I made that decision, and I realized it really was a decision, because I would think about, what am I thinking about when I'm feeling sad? I'm thinking about ridiculous things that aren't really even happening, thinking about possibilities of bad things, or, you know, I'm not happy with my life right now, then change it. You know, so it's like meditation helps you stop and think and get out of the autopilot mode. That's one of the biggest benefits. It makes you shut off the radio, the TV, all the outside influences just for, you know, 10 minutes even, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It lets you be with your thoughts for a moment so that you can have real thoughts and not these autopilot thoughts or thoughts that are being fed to us, you know, through television, radio, and other people's bad advice. So it's like when you get to sit with yourself and analyze some things, you get to know yourself a little better. You think about what you're thinking about. People don't often think about what they're thinking about. You know, when you stop and think about what you think about, then you change your thoughts, will change your feelings, you know. And so we have to examine that. And that usually doesn't happen until we're sitting down being quiet. So that's one of the benefits of the meditation and just relieving stress. And it lets you know that you have the power in your brain to make things happen. And when you realize that, life looks a whole lot different.
Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ruby Lathan. If you're listening, I see you up there on the board. If you have a question or would like to make a comment, like to jump in the conversation, all you have to do is press 1 on your telephone, and it will let me know that you would like to join in, and I'll bring you on. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. Doctor, if you could talk about briefly mantras and affirmations, because when people start getting into meditation, you mentioned one technique was to visualize, you know, a dot on the wall. Some systems, they might have mantras. Could you share what a mantra is? Because that can spook people out too. You know, when they hear mantras, it's like, what a
right.
mantra? You want me to recite this? What am I saying? What does this mean? You know, could you talk about mantras and affirmations and their the role that they play in meditation?
Right. I know first people usually think of like yoga when you do your ohms and things like that, and you don't really know what it means, but you can look it up and see what it means. Things like that. You don't have to do that. I don't suggest you do something that you don't know what it means, because then you don't know what you're doing and you're just putting out chaotic energy. So you want to choose a mantra that makes sense to you. So, you know, yoga is different because you're in a class and you're kind of going along with it. But those words, you know, words and phrases and things actually have energy attached to them and different frequencies that are mm-hmm. attached to them. So certain words will, you know, make you feel more peaceful than other words. So, but generally what you want to do is choose something that makes you feel good when you say it, number one, and then you want to start with something that you believe. A lot of what I've read being the pitfalls of meditation and mantras for people is they say things that they don't really believe. So they say, okay, I'm going to choose this mantra. I'm going to be a millionaire next year. And they'll say that. I'm going to be a millionaire 2017 or whatever year it is. They don't really believe it at all. They're just saying it, hoping it works somehow. You know, just what if you don't believe what you're saying, it doesn't work. So you have to choose something that you can believe for starters. And just like anything else that is an exercise, you can exercise your ability to meditate and make things happen. You can do that. So it's like if you can't believe you're going to be a millionaire, then don't choose that. If you've got, you know, $150,000 in debt and you're saying, I'm going to be debt-free in 3 months, you probably don't believe that, right? So you want to choose something that you can believe. That's number one. And that's usually why people say, well, I tried The Secret and I tried this. You probably chose something that was, in your subconscious mind, you felt was not really possible or just, you know, not going to happen, but consciously you're trying to make it happen. So choose something that is believable to you and that makes you feel good when you think about it. So if you have a problem with self-esteem, you could say something about good about yourself, and definitely stop saying bad things about yourself. That's why I don't like self-depreciating humor and things like that that people say about themselves all the time, especially when I'm working with people who are trying to lose weight. They'll, you know, they're kind of trying to beat you to the chase because they think you're going to say something negative about their weight. So they kind of like, you know, they're going to say, call themselves the fat girl or the fat boy or whatever to kind of lessen the potential sting. And I understand that, but we have to stop doing that because basically you're programming your body to stay what you just said. If you identify yourself as, you know, this or that, then that's what you're going to be. So number one, so you choose something that makes you feel good when you say it. So let's say you're having a problem with self-esteem and you don't think you're beautiful, you know, you can say, I am beautiful, you know, and believe it. Try to believe it, you know, and when you say it, if it makes you feel good, keep saying that. You know, whatever it is you want. So it's like you choose the mantra, so there's no hocus-pocus going on. There's no, like, if you say this word five times, something's going to happen. It's nothing like that. It is just simply you choosing what you want to either bring about or believe in your life, and then you say that, and you, the more you say that, the more you believe it, the more you know, you can start with something small. Like I was saying, if you have, you know, $150,000 in debt, you might not want to start with, I'm going to be debt-free in 3 months. You might pick one bill and say, you know, I'm paying that bill will be zero in 3 months. That bill will be zero in 3 months, something like that. So you can, and you always want to make your mantra in the affirmative. You don't want to say what you don't want. I don't want to be fat anymore. That's not what you want to say. You want to say, I want to be X number of pounds, or I want to be I want to look good in my swimsuit, or I want to be, you know, slim, or whatever it is that resonates with you. It always needs to be in the affirmative because, again, we're putting out energy in words. And so if you're putting out words of things you don't want, you're putting those thoughts and words out that are attracted to that. So you want to put it in a very positive light. So you get to choose it. And so the more you do it, the more – so basically the brain's like a radio that receives and sends energy waves. That's pretty much what it is, and we have to know that. And it is possible to measure that. They have measured this before. So basically when you're doing a mantra, you're putting out energy, you're projecting energy that then will connect with things that have that same energy to make that happen for you. So that's the purpose of a mantra. It's also to retrain the brain to make you think about what you want so that you get out of the habit of thinking about the opposite. So if you're not happy and you start thinking about being happy, then eventually you're going to be happy. And this is a very biblical principle as well. By beholding, you become changed, right? And that is by thinking about something. Beholding is thinking, taking in, looking, watching, ingesting. So it's exactly a biblical principle. By beholding, you become changed. And so by you deciding what you're going to behold in your brain, what you're going to think about, you change the way you think and you change the way things come to you. You know, so I've seen it happen in my life many, many times before I realized I was doing it. I remember when I moved when I first moved to D.C., I wanted a particular job here, and I found it online. I was like, oh, my God, this is the perfect job for me. You know, my first job in nutrition, switching from engineering. And once I found the job, I stopped looking for all other jobs because I couldn't. You know, my mind was set on this one. I was like, this is it. This is the job for me. This has my name written all over it. And I said that. I claimed that job. I was like, this is my job. So I went for the interview, had already made plans to pack up my house. I was coming regardless whether I had the job or not. I was moving. I was packing up, had already made all plans for me to go. I had already looked at an apartment, everything, because I was so sure this job was mine. I made plans as if it was. And that's what helps bring things about. So I was like, this is it. I'm done. I did the great interview. This is going to happen. You know, I did my follow-up emails, calls, all the stuff you're supposed to do afterwards. But the main thing is I thought about the job, and I would get so excited about having that job. I mean, I was almost giddy about it before I got it. And that amount of energy and excitement made that happen. And so, you know, 2 days before the movers are coming to get my stuff, I get the call and I get the job offer. And I'm like, great, because I'm on my way. So this is perfect, you know. And so it's the same. Now, this is before I understood what visualization and meditation, the power of that, but I realized I was doing it because I said, you know what, I tried to look for other jobs, quote, just in case, but my heart was so far away from it, it was a waste of time. I said, I am not going to be happy unless this job is mine, and I'm shutting everything else down, and I'm going to do everything I can to get this job. Let me look through my Rolodex to see if I have a friend of a friend who knows somebody at this position. I look through everybody they possibly, their list of employees. I'm like, who might know somebody there? You know, my job was to focus on that job. I got the job. And I didn't even think, I was like, I've never even worked in nutrition before, but I was the perfect candidate for that job. And those are things that we do that we think are happenstance, luck, or we just got blessed. No, it's because you are blessed, but you're blessed with the ability to focus on what you want with laser focus repeatedly, and that's what brings about these things. So I was like, you know what? Every time I have focused on something like that, I have gotten it. Every time I start thinking about, you know, just over my life, I was like, I have been working this all this time and didn't realize it. And the same thing happened when bad things happened. I was focusing on the fear of those bad things happening, which made those bad things then happen. So I was like, okay, so this is the exact same thing. So I'm going to develop positive affirmations. Like one of mine is good things happen for me. Good things always happen for me. Good things happen to me, for me. And they do, because I make it happen, because I'm putting that energy out there, you know. So that's a mantra you can say, you know, good things happen for me. You know, I've always been, again, before I knew about meditation and saying, I would always say I'm an exception to the rule. I really don't care what the rules say. If I want something and it's in direct contrast to what the regulation is, so what? I am an exception to the rule. I was like, I only need one person to agree with me who can make this happen. And it usually happens. And so that was my mantra that I had in my mind before I knew what a mantra was, that I'm an exception to the rule. I don't care what, you know, normally happens. I don't care what, you know, people say you have to do it this way or you have to jump through that hoop to get here. No, I'm an exception. And I'm going in here expecting to get the exception. And guess what? I normally get the exception to the rule because I'm projecting that. And so it's the same thing. And if you think about your life and people who are listening, think about that. Things that you really, really wanted, did you really, really focus on it? Probably. And things that really happened that were terrible, did you focus on the fear of that happening or talk about it or talk it up or talk about that person? The same way that we say, speak of the devil, and the person that you're talking about appears, is because you're attracting that person, because you're spending, especially if it's someone you hate or don't like, and you're sitting there with your girlfriend or your guy friend just dogging them out into the ground. Next thing you know, they show up at the door, the phone rings, because you sent energy, negative energy out, because you're talking about it with such vehemence and anger, and all of that is powerful. And so then you attract people who have that same energy, so you attract the person you're talking about. Same thing with relationships. You attract the same people over and over because you're like, I'm afraid I'm not going to get a good guy. So you keep attracting no-count guys or whatever, abusive guys, because you're afraid that that's what you're going to get, and that's what you get, instead of focusing on what you want to get. We do it every day. And once we realize that we're already doing it, then we can formalize it and make it work for us.
How y'all enjoying this interview? How are you enjoying this interview? I'm enjoying this, and I thank everybody for tuning in. I told you at the beginning that this was going to be powerful, and it has been just that. Dr. Latham, somebody wants to talk to you, so I'm going to call out the last four digits of your number, and then you can speak with Dr. Latham. Are you good for time, Doc?
Sure.
Okay. All right. 8117, you're on the air with Dr. Ruby Latham.
Hello, yes, my name is Vance Little, and I just wanted to say that I really, really enjoyed the show. I really appreciate the part where he talked about the different ways of meditating and the different mantras, because I'm one of those ones, I guess, guilty of being spooked, I guess. I heard you say spooked. People get spooked by, you know, so I really, really appreciated that, and it's been very inspirational for me. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Great.
That's my brother
great.
Right there. I'm so happy to hear your voice, brother. How you doing?
All is well, man. Glad that, you know, I just wanted to check in and say hello, and wish you well, man. So thank you so much.
God bless you, man.
Oh,
thank you
welcome.
So much for your call. Dr. Layton, I know we're close to the end of the show, but I just want to, you know, thank everybody for tuning in. It's always a pleasure to, you know, have people call in and to, you know, just share that they're enjoying the information, because there are people out there that are listening. They don't always call, but the numbers keep growing and growing and growing, and so I really appreciate the call. Doc, can you talk about briefly the breath? Because when we talk about meditation, you know, the breath is definitely going to play a role in the state of awareness that you're in at the time you're meditating. I mean, we know, understand about Hertz, you know, the different brain waves and so forth. Can you talk about the breath and the role that that plays in meditation?
Sure. So deep breathing in and of itself is energy in the body. So it helps the blood flow better. It helps expel things out of the body, out of our lungs. A lot of times we do a lot of very shallow breathing, most times, especially if we're sitting all day. So we're not using the full capacity of our diaphragm unless we're like singing and things like that. When you really take those deep breaths to, you know, get a note out or something, most of us aren't doing that every day. So we need to do that in a different way, and that's what deep breathing does. It's very cleansing. Emotionally, it's very cleansing. You know, some people say take a deep breath, step back, take a deep breath. That actually does do something. Taking that deep breath is calming. It's just part of that whole relaxation thing, breathing. So breathing in itself has healing properties. Taking in air, holding it, and then releasing it definitely helps the body heal, period. So it you know, we get a lot of, you know, dirt and things and that we breathe in all day and environmental toxins that we need to breathe out and circulate out of our body. So that's number one. It also helps with the calming nature of it and bringing the body and the brain to, you know, a more relaxed state. And so that's really a huge piece of it, because it works in coordination. So if you have a hard time meditating or quieting your brain, you want to start with deep breathing anyway, because that act in itself will help you get into a meditation. So, you know, just hold, you know, deep breath in, holding it for 3 to 5 seconds, release, and then slowly doing that. And you don't want to hyperventilate, you know, you want to go slow, hold and release. And by the time you do that 10 or 15 times, you're relaxed. You have stopped thinking about it. You can actually, one meditation is just thinking of the breath, hearing the breath. And then usually you want to exhale, you know, in through your nose, out through your mouth. And a lot of, there's different types of ways to do that. But if you want to really exhale, you kind of like almost cough it out, you know, like make that ha sound like you're going to fog a mirror. That kind of breathing really really helps the body heal and really helps you relax and quiet the brain. So, you know, the deep breath in and then, you know, letting it till it's all out and doing that several times is very basic and very healing and very powerful in and of itself. So that's, you really usually want to start a meditation with breathing, because especially if you've never done it before, because now you're doing two things at once that are very beneficial, that's just physically beneficial, and then mentally, emotionally beneficial, and then thirdly, it helps you get into a more meditative state. And a meditative state just means your brain is quiet. It doesn't mean anything else. It doesn't mean, oh, no, something's going to happen. It's not, again, it's not magic. It's science. So That's what a meditative state means. It's just that some people get better at it than other people. So when you understand how powerful your brain is, it's just like any other muscle, you can make things happen for yourself quicker than other people, which might seem like magic, but it's not. It's just science, you know, so it makes it seem miraculous, you know, but it's the same way that we go to so-and-so to pray for us because they seem to get answers to their prayer more than so-and-so over here, you know, so I'm going to go have or the pastor pray because, you know, when he prays, something happens, you know, it's the same thing. It's just that those people have tapped into their energy in such a way that they believe what they're doing so strongly that they manifest it a lot quicker than the rest of us. And the thing is, we all have the same power. So, and then, you know, just before, I know we need to close, just before and how it plays a role in healing, you know, for me, I focused on cancer, the actual tumor shrinking. So I would see that shrinking to a point where it was as small as a pinhead until I couldn't see it anymore, until it was completely gone. So that was the meditation that I would do, visualization, you know, with that. So I would meditate and let that be my image of cancer leaving the body. So it's the same thing with anything else, whether it's, you know, diabetes or high blood pressure. You know, I've been in the doctor's office, and I'm like, I'm just going to bring my blood pressure down because I know this is not my normal blood pressure. Give me a minute. And I meditate on the number that I want, and then I get it,
right.
You know, because I'm like, I was just, you know, rushed or excited or nervous about being here, and then let's do the reading again. A lot of people are like that, like even though maybe they've relaxed by the end of the exam and then they get another reading, but also you can actually bring that down with your brain. You know, if you were stuck somewhere with no blood pressure medication, you could actually just bring your blood pressure down by the power of your thought. And usually that would involve some breathing and just thinking about it. People heal themselves all the time with just the power of thought alone. But when you combine it with all these other methods, it's like a no-lose situation.
I love it. I love it. I love it. That's powerful. Just give me a second, Doc. Let me just breathe for a minute. Take it again.
Yeah.
Amazing. Doc, as we wind it up, could you just lastly talk about the importance of just a holistic approach to healing? We've talked about visualization. We've talked about meditation. You might take somebody out there that's got a medical condition. You know, doctor might say they've got cancer or diabetes or high blood pressure or whatever the case is, you know, but the diet does play a role. So if you take somebody that's been diagnosed with cancer or their liver shot, you know, there are going to be some things they have to do in conjunction with. I mean, if you could breathe, but if you're still eating the same stuff that got your liver shot in the first place, or if you got cirrhosis of the liver from drinking, and you're hearing this show and you're like, oh, gosh, let me do some meditation. Let me start breathing and get my liver back together. But you're still, you know, down in a pint of Wild Irish Rose every day. You know, that's not going to work. So could you talk about just that briefly and just the importance of having a holistic approach to this? I mean, yes, meditate. Yes, visualize. But, you know, the diet plays a role in that if you're trying to recover and reverse a condition.
Absolutely. We definitely want to take the holistic approach because, number one, it all goes back to belief. For you, for me, I don't know, if I wasn't doing anything else and doing harmful things to my body, it would be hard for me to believe that I'm just going to meditate into healing. But, so you're kind of acting in contradiction to yourself if you're actually doing something that causes harm and then meditating on something good. It's a contradiction. So you're almost zeroing yourself out. You're sending out good stuff. You're doing bad stuff, and so you're kind of almost at square one. So it really has to work in combination with your life. So absolutely, if you're, you know, have diabetes or, you know, liver disease or cancer, you have to, you know, start with basics, you know, of healthy nutrition, of getting help on giving your body things that will help it heal. And so then when you're meditating, you believe that that's going to happen because you're physically doing something and now you're mentally doing it to reinforce that. It needs to go together. It just makes it more powerful. Not only that, as I mentioned, your meditation can be dampened by alcohol, drugs, even pharmaceutical medications, really terrible, mm-hmm. bad, unhealthy food with food coloring and MSG, all of those things actually hamper our ability to the strength of our signal. So it's just like a radio. If there's a lot of interference in front of it and things in front of that antenna, you're going to hear the music, but it's going to be staticky. That's pretty much what happens when you're doing things the opposite of what is healing and helpful. You're still sending the energy, but your signal is weak. And so you need to release those things so that you have a stronger signal. And also, it's the best times to do it are in the morning and at night. It tends to be when our signals are stronger, when our before we've gotten involved in everything. So like before you go to bed, right when you wake up is when generally we have a better outcomes with meditation, because especially when you're visualizing. And I'm sure there's a reason for that. Part is because, you know, you probably haven't gotten injected with a whole bunch of other static yet. And your brain is already in a restful state right when you wake up. And right before you're going to sleep, your brain is preparing to slow down, so which is likely why those are really the best times to do it. But any time is good. But the holistic approach makes it stronger, both mentally and physically. So you have to stop putting things in that would dampen the signal in the first place, and then things that would heal the body, because then you can even start thinking about specific things that you're taking and visualize it going into the cell and repairing that liver or repairing whatever it is that needs to happen. You can visualize that particular thing that you're doing. You know, whatever it is that works for you is completely what makes sense to your brain to visualize, is what makes sense. So it needs to be a holistic approach. We need to be living well. We need to be not treating people in a negative way. So we talk about holistic approach. It's holistic in every way. Because disease is often related to events and things that are happening in our lives that need to change. And so you might be, have a liver disease and you're starting to eat healthy and you're meditating, but you're treating someone, your wife or your spouse or your husband, in a very negative way every day. That cirrhosis of the liver is representative of something you're doing or need to stop doing or that you're letting someone do to you. So you have to address that too. You can't just, think that it's going to be okay. This disease is showing up for a reason. So we have to address all aspects, the nutritional aspect, the spiritual aspect, all of it. We can't just the physical aspect. We have to address everything that is connected to that. And usually when you address the actual thing that was part of the reason the disease manifested, you're going to heal faster. And usually when I coach people, I'm always asking them what's going on, what has happened in your life, what is causing unrest, discontent, fear, anger, whatever, because we need to deal with that in order for you to lose this weight, because you're holding on to something. So we got to release this weight. I was just working with someone last week who has, cancer as well as wants to lose weight. And I was like, okay, let's talk about that. What's going on? It's like, well, I'm not even comfortable in my own house. My, family members have come and basically commandeered my entire house, and I don't know how to undo that. I was like, well, we're going to have to deal with that. Let's talk about that. You're going to have to pipe up, speak up, and take charge of your life. Otherwise, what we're doing here nutritionally is going to be minimal, because this is a trigger. These things are related. So when we talk about holistic, it's holistic in every way. You got to get your life together when you're healing. It is basically the disease, the illness, whatever, is your body's way of saying, hey, there's a problem, not just here, but somewhere else too, and we got to fix it all if we really want to stay well. This is why cancers come back and illnesses come back, because people do maybe a nutritional approach or they do a surgical approach, and they'll take out whatever, and either they didn't change their diet or they didn't change their lifestyle, or they never changed the issue that triggered it in the first place. So when you take a holistic approach, we're going to deal with everything and clean it up and basically start over.
You know, Doc, I think for a lot of people, one of the hardest things to change is you know, people change, might change their diet, you know, they might change certain things. One of the hardest things for people to change is their circle. You know, could you talk about that briefly? Last question. I mean, because that's important. I think sometimes people have to just make hard, hard choices when it comes to just even the things that you watch on television, the stuff, the music that you listen to. I mean, all of that, you know, because if you're around people that are you're trying to go one way, you're trying to go a holistic route, and they're trying to, you know, they're not supportive in that, then, you know, I mean, it's tough enough to make the decision that, hey, I'm going to go vegan, or, hey, I'm going to start changing my lifestyle. It's hard enough to even get to the point where, you know, you're saying, okay, I'm going to do this. Well, you need all the support you can get when you're going to do that. I mean, all of your friends have got to be on board. Your family members have got to be on board. Sometimes your family can be some of the worst critics, you know. Sometimes it's hard, but sometimes you can't call certain people every day, you know.
Right. That's true. You know, birds of a feather do flock together. So, you know, there's when you look around at your friends, you know, there's some reflection of you in that. So if you don't like what you're seeing, then you have to make some changes, you know. We grow and change at different rates than other people, and so when we do that, we need to find a circle that supports it for sure, or you will fall back into your habits, basically, you know. So if you have a bunch of friends who laugh at the idea of working out or eating healthy, then you need to laugh one out of that circle into one that sees it as the norm, you know. That's really important. Otherwise, you're going to die with them. So it's your choice, you know. Keep them at, you don't have to divorce people per se, but you have to keep them at a distance because you're trying to make a change. And it's okay. It's like we are not here to stay the same. Part of life is growing, evolving, and changing. And it's kind of a travesty if you stay 100% the same from day one, that you haven't learned anything, you haven't evolved, you haven't done anything better, then that's the problem. So, you know, look at it as a welcome thing that we're supposed to be learning, evolving, growing, and being better and better people until the day we die. There's so much to take in and absorb that you should be changing up until that point. So if that means less family time with toxic people, then that's what it means.
You know, this interview has been so powerful. I mean, it could go on and on and on, and I just want to be respectful of your time. You know, I know that there are people out there. You did mention coaching. You coach people. You're a health coach, a health and wellness coach. Could you share your information with people so that I know that there's somebody out there that's going to hear this interview and they're going to want to contact you? How can people reach you?
Sure. They can reach me at either on my website, which is rubylathan.com. That's RubyLathon.com. You can always get me there, or you can call me at 202-709-7829 or at email at info@rubylathan.com. So any of those work. And sure, I do nutritional coaching, but we do it in a holistic way, so to address every part of what you're dealing with so that we can get some lasting change and healing. And it's exciting because I see people's lives changing within weeks, you know, just working with me. And so it's extremely exciting. And so I'm happy to do it. And, yeah, if you're dealing with something nutritional or just need a new nutrition plan, and they're usually plant-based. Well, not usually, they're always plant-based. You know, I'm happy to do that too.
You know, Dr. Lathan hosts a show called The Veggie Chest. You can check that out on YouTube as well, where if you're making the transition from a meat-based diet to a plant-based diet and you're just kind of wondering, well, I need some new recipes, or, you know, I need somebody to show me how to do it, because for a lot of people that's the problem when it comes to making that change, just knowing, okay, well, what do I eat now? Well, Dr. Lathan hosts a show. It's called The Veggie Chest. I encourage everybody to check it out on YouTube. You'll really enjoy making that transition. It doesn't have to be difficult. It could be extremely fun and enjoyable. So definitely check out The Veggie Chest on YouTube for recipes, and you can, you know, have somebody kind of walk you through the transition, because it's definitely one that you'll be glad that you made. I don't know anybody that's ever regretted eating healthier. So, Dr. Nathan.
And also, there's a raw food festival that I'll be at on Saturday at 3:30. I'll be doing a demo so you can actually taste some of the food. It's a great place to connect with other people, like-minded people who are trying to live healthy. It's in D.C. You can go to my website and get the details, but it's at 3:30 to 8 p.m. My talk is about at 4 o'clock. So I think it's a great opportunity, especially if you've not really had plant-based food before or even raw vegan food. It's a good time to come and sample it and hear a lot of good talks.
You know, it's a beautiful thing to be a part of this healthy lifestyle. It is really a beautiful thing. I mean, just looking back on my life, I never thought that one day I would really just enjoy sitting around talking about holistic health and meditation and visualization and all of this. But I have thoroughly enjoyed this information, thoroughly enjoyed this interview, as I knew that I would, and I know that my listeners have. Just want to say thank you to everybody for tuning in. Doc, was there anything else on meditation and visualization that you wanted to add, any closing remarks before we leave tonight?
I would just say that, you know, the power is in your hands. It's in your brain, actually, and you should never feel hopeless because you have the power to affect every aspect of your life, starting with, you know, meditation and visualization. Just know that you're powerful. God has made us that way, and we're remiss if we don't use it properly.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Doctor. I really appreciate it. As always, you did another powerful show. Again, everybody, Dr. Lathan comes on once a month. We talk about a different aspect of holistic health. And, again, I want to say to everybody, you can share this link. If you've got the link via Facebook or however you got the link, you can actually share it with other like-minded people. To the caller that called in, Brother Vance, thank you so much, my brother. Great to hear your voice, sir. I'll be in touch. Again, everybody. Oh, before I forget, everybody, if you're listening, make sure you tune in tomorrow from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My special guest is going to be Louis Gossett Jr. That's right, Louis Gossett Jr., Academy Award winning, Emmy Award winning, Lou Gossett Jr. is going to be on Juwanza for Life from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time. That will be 4 to 5 Pacific Time. We're going to be talking about the events that have been in the news lately. There's been a lot of talk about Black Lives Matter and, you know, a lot of the social unrest that has been surrounding the events that have been making headlines lately. We're going to be discussing that tomorrow, so you don't want to miss that show. Again, that's 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 to 5 Pacific Time. Don't miss the show. Tell a friend. Until the next time, everybody, my name is Juwanza. That you've heard and had the pleasure of listening to today is Dr. Ruby Lathan. She comes on once a month. Don't forget to check out the Veggie Chest and definitely go to her website, again, so that you can check out the event that's coming up Saturday. Okay, you don't want to miss that. You have an opportunity to hear Dr. Lathan. She will be speaking around 4, and I guarantee you that you will definitely enjoy it if you get out there. So until the next time, my name is Juwanza. Thank you, Dr. Lathan.
Anytime.
Everybody. Okay. Talk to you soon, everybody. Peace and blessings. Don't forget to share the link. And remember, tomorrow, Lou Gossett Jr. Don't miss this fabulous show. Take care, everybody. Peace.